coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on another beautiful Saratoga morning. We are live from the backstretch. Seth Merrow in here on a Thursday morning, as they say, that looks like it's going to turn into a beautiful Thursday afternoon. It was a nice day yesterday. Waited until 10 minutes after the last race to dump a little rain on us, but it wasn't bad. And the race day was beautiful, so we're expecting more of the same today up here at Saratoga. Here on the program this morning, a little bit later on, Dave Groening from the Daily Racing Forum will take a look at some of the stakes action coming up over the next few days. Matt Vedvolji will join us. If you remember when we were out at Vegas handicapping or covering the National Handicapping Championship, Matt, local guy, finished third there, so it was fun for us over the last couple of days to kind of follow him through the final table and whatnot. I told him we'd have him on at Saratoga to maybe handicap some races and use some of that handicapping knowledge, so he'll be joining us in a few, but top of the show. Always happy to be joined by trainer Mark Cassie. Mark, good morning.
Oh, thanks, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. You've got a big weekend lined up. You've already had a nice Saratoga. We'll touch on a lot of that. I just want to start out by always interested in what a trainer's day is like up here at Saratoga. As you walked onto the our property here, you were already on the phone chatting away. I'm sure you've been working for a few hours now. What's a typical day like for you up here at Saratoga?
The Saratoga days are pretty long. Especially we just had the horse sales, which made them really long. But I usually get up around 4:45 or so, and usually here around 5:15, 5:30. And on a busy day like today, we trained up until, I had to hustle to get here. And then after this interview, I'll drive home. It takes me about 25 minutes to get home. I'll take a little nap, take a shower, and come back. We have some running this afternoon. Plus, I run a lot of horses, all over North America. I try to watch that. And then I usually try to have an early dinner. It doesn't always work that way. And then I go to bed and start over. Lots of phone calls. Probably between emails, texts, phone calls, over 100 maybe a day.
How has technology changed the training game since?
It's helped a lot. I get on a typical morning, I may get videos of 20 to 30 of our horses either breezing days after they run. We have a little bit of a video library, so I can look at horses and if we have an issue, we can compare them to previous videos.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's changed a lot. Not as many phone calls. We get a lot of texts, a lot of emails. It used to be we'd have to tell everybody when their horses are running. They usually know as soon as the entries come out. So it's a good thing.
And also, as you say, if you have horses racing in different venues, it makes it a lot easier now to...
Yeah, I watch a lot on my my phone or my iPad. Yeah. I probably will run somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 starts. And I would say of those, I might miss five that I don't get... and it may be for, who knows,
well,
for
some reason. Well, you have a couple of races overlapping.
Well, it was a couple years ago, and I don't remember. One of them was the turf race at Monmouth, great race. We won it, I think, with world approval, and Lexi Lou was winning. Lexi Lou was winning a grade two, and world approval was at the eighth pole, so I was watching.
That's funny. Speaking of Lexi Lou, congratulations. Got into the Canadian Hall of Fame. Was it last night?
It was last night.
Yeah, nice.
Very proud of her.
Won the Canadian Oaks and the Queen's Plate a couple of years ago in the same year. So, again, congratulations there. Doing some bio work last night. It was interesting. I'm assuming, and I think I'm correct, because I'm a big fan of Tampa Bay. My dad was retired for many years, and I would go down in the Tampa area, and I'd go up and get to the races a few times. I remember seeing Davy Jones for the Monkees watching the races there. I guess he had a farm nearby. But when I read your bio information, it said your first winner was at Florida Downs, which I'm assuming is Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but that's not true.
Oh, it isn't true? No.
But I'll tell you a funny story, and then I'll tell you where my first win. But when I was obviously young, 10, 12 years old, we weren't allowed to go to the races in Florida. So my dad would take me, and he would park the car at about the eighth pole right on next to the fence, you know, and I would make my bets, and my dad would come about every other race or so and bring me, you know, hot dogs and drinks, and he would go down. So that's how I used to watch the races. But my first winner actually came, I think, at Great Barrington Fair, which was
really?
In Massachusetts. Yeah. And it was, the reason for that was, it was the, Massachusetts was at the time the only place you could get your trainer's license at 17. So my dad, we were up there, and I got my license. I think the first winner was Red Rocket was her name. And she won her first three times I ran her. My first win ever at a major racetrack was, I was 18. It was the following year. It was with a horse called, now I can't think of it. Joe's Coming, and he won at Keeneland. And if anybody knows Keeneland, they have two poles.
Yeah.
So he was going to run second, but the rider on the leader pulled up at the 16th pole, and my rider never stopped riding, and we won by a nose. And that was with the other rider standing up galloping. So, you know.
Yeah, that's great. It's also great that your first one was at Great Barrington, which has the potential to come back now, which would be interesting.
You know what? If it came back, if there was ever I could do it, I would probably take a horse in memory of my father. That was my dad's favorite place to run, was Great Barrington Fair. And Andy Byer and him were buddies. He'll tell you about my dad. I love him, and, you know, unfortunately he's gone. But my dad wasn't maybe the greatest horse trainer of all time. But I had to follow him everywhere because he was a little notorious for playing his little games. And everywhere I went, the steward would say, "Now we know your dad." I said, "I'm not like my dad."
A lot of people around here are very familiar with that Massachusetts Fair Circuit. A lot of people have great memories of that. I went up to one of the fairs and saw Zippy Chippy's last race. Literally 5 days after watching the Grade 1 4 go here, I was standing at a beautiful September afternoon in one of the fairs watching Zippy Chippy.
We had a big six-horse van, and if you knew a van, they have a peak up over the cab, and that's where we used to sleep, my dad and I. And then we'd have those little hot things you light, the fuels, and we would make our dinner doing that. And and I remember one time one of the fairs horse didn't make the turn and went into the french fry stand.
That's one of the things about those fairs. You had pizza on a stick and steak in a cup. And
good old days, right?
Yeah, no, they were fun. All right, let's get to some of your action most recently and get updates on some of the horses and where we may see them next. Just going back a few days ago, Perfect Alibi. We'll watch the stretch run here in the Adirondack. This was career start number 3. She had a couple of starts, one at Churchill to break the maiden, and a second in the Astoria, most recently down at Belmont before the Adirondack. She'll be the number 3 horse here. Wins by a chart margin of half a length over Frank's Rocket, who was the 70 cents to a dollar favorite. You were a $15 and change price here. But again, Perfect Alibi number 3 gets it done in the Adirondack. What were your thoughts on this race, and what might be next for her?
Well, it's an interesting race. She's an interesting horse. Obviously, you know, the runner-up had some issues and some trouble, but we did too. We got held up for a little while as well. Of course, I read. What a great ride.
Yeah.
She's an extremely, extremely unique filly. She's a beautiful filly. She's almost 17 hands tall. Her winning that, I must have worked her here 3 or 4 times prior to this race. Her winning the race was the first time she won anything. She's one of those, if you work her in the morning, she won't beat anybody. The first time I ran her, I told Mr. Farmer, I said, she's training, she's done everything she can do, I think we just run her. A lot of times I like running my horses. I like it's always a step, whether it's a forward step, a sideway. It's a plan to get you somewhere else. So I said, she'll run okay. I'm not expecting her to win. And she won by 10. So there you go. And came back. And she ran all right at Belmont. But if you looked at the 3/8 pole, you would have thought she was going to run last. I mean, she was going nowhere. Sean was riding. She was going nowhere. And then she came running. So I told Irad before the race, I said, look, just try to keep her in the race. I really don't know what's going to happen. And she went to, he had her in the race, and I mean, she showed a lot of gameness.
Yeah.
So I was impressed. She's starting to
yeah,
impress.
That was only start number three.
Right. So. And she's big. She's going to get better. So the plan is to go in the spinaway. I think the 7/8 will be great for her.
And looking at the PPs here, you mentioned you were at the sale Monday and Tuesday night over here. She was purchased at the sale here last year.
Yeah, she was. I've had great success with Sky Mesa. I really like the Sky Mesa that have some stretch to them, and she did. She's Sky Mesa's a unique sire. I've had them win going 5/8, and I've had them win going a mile and a half, and I like, you know, I'm a pedigree guy. I grew up, you know, since I was 7, 8 years old, my dad drumming pedigrees into me. And so I'm a pedigree guy. I do look at the confirmation, but I believe that we have 100 years of history in front of us when we look at a sales catalog that should be used.
You like that part of the game, the puzzle of figuring out the pedigree and who might turn out to be a runner in a year's time?
Oh, it's my favorite part. It's, you know, my dad always said, if it didn't Winnie, I don't know anything about it. So you may see me, I may not even have a horse in a big race, but I'm always looking at the good horses, and I'm looking at them because I want to see if say, for instance, it's a Candy Ride. I want to look and see what a Shared Belief looked like. I want to see that because, and I put it in my memory bank, and then if I run across it, you know.
That's funny because I always say, as a handicapper, I always tell people, if you're new to the game or even if you've been around for a while, don't throw away your program, because now the puzzles have all been solved and you can reverse engineer. You're talking about the same thing on the pedigree and the buying, the auction side. You're kind of reverse engineering, looking at horses. Oh, successful, and let me look at that.
Yeah, and it's funny you should bring up the puzzle, because that's what I always say to everybody. Training horses is putting a puzzle together. Very seldom do all the pieces fit when you try them. And if it did, how much fun would it be? So, you know, running, I often say, and I used to say it to my son Norman a lot, you know, maybe you don't get the results that you want in a performance, but it leads you to your next step. As soon as the race runs, if I run a horse, I'm thinking about where do I go from here? And Sir Winston is one of my proudest pupils, just because he started out so poorly and became the Belmont winner.
Well, and that is a good setup for Sir Winston. I just read within the past couple of days that maybe gets back into training sooner rather than later. And War of Will, I also read within the past 24 hours, you were saying, maybe 95% for Pennsylvania Derby as opposed to the Travis.
Well, I'm going to be the first one to tell you this, because you saw me on the phone. I was on the phone with Mr. Barber, and I told him that I think that War of Will's getting better each day. I thought he looked great this morning, but he will not run in the Travis. Okay. It's 100%.
Okay, so
we're going to aim for the Pennsylvania Derby, and just simply because it'll give me more time to get him to where I want him. I mean, I thought for the Kentucky Derby, you know, we came off a 6 or 7 week layoff, and he was on his game. He just got a little unlucky. And I want him back there, and I can't do that for the Traverse, so we're going to aim for the Pennsylvania Derby. There's nothing I'd like more than to win the Traverse, so it hurts a little bit, but I have to do what's best for the horse.
And Sir Winston, am I right that training is around
Sir Winston's just starting back, and they just came out with a race yesterday that we'll aim for that one. It's a small purse, $20 million. in Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
so
yes.
We may make that our goal, probably for him, both of those.
And for folks who didn't see the news that was announced yesterday in Saudi Arabia, $20 million purse that'll be squarely in between the Pegasus and the Dubai World Cup. So,
you know, the nice part about that, Seth, is, you know, we lose a lot of our stars for financial reasons. Yeah. You know, they become so valuable as stallion prospects. And you know what? Very seldom do you get a chance to recoup. These owners are constantly putting out money after money after money. It's nice, you know, it's nice for them to maybe keep some stars around. And when you start throwing 10 and 12, 20 million around, piques people's interest.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting the early part
of next year. I think
it's
great.
Year.
You know, yeah. I think you'll keep our stars around a little
definitely,
longer.
Definitely, yeah. Let's hit on another win from just the past few days. We're going to go back to the De La Rose, which ties into the upcoming weekend, too. Number 8, Got Stormy, gets it done here, which I think 24 or 40 hours ahead of time would have been a track record. But unfortunately, McKagan had it, as I say, just day before, perhaps, or maybe it was even a few races before. I think it was the day before. But Got Stormy here, the number 8, winning the De La Rose. And then you've entered Got Stormy back in the 4-star Dave on a quick turnaround. What are your thoughts coming out of this race, and what was the thought process to enter in the 4-star Dave?
You know, I was amazed after watching the replay how easily she won. I think Larry Colmus said he was 4 lengths behind, and he was still under a hand ride. He was, you know, the confidence that Tyler displayed in her. This filly's gotten really good. I think she can probably run with most any turf miler around right now. It is a concern coming back in a week. It's not necessarily, it's something that Gary and I discussed. Gary is Gary Barber, her owner, he's a great horseman himself. You know, we're a team, and we talked about it. We looked at the positives, the negatives. Honestly, I was probably more for not running. He is for running. He's as game as they come. But we both agreed that we would enter, and if for any reason she showed us any idea that it wasn't, she shouldn't run. And she trained great this morning. So right now, I wouldn't say we're 100% to run. Again, I just got off the phone with him, and I told him that I'm going to leave that up to him. But I could not stop him from, if he wants to run her, there's not enough there for me to say, no, we can't run. So I'm going to let him decide. And you know what? I think, again, going back to trainers, I think too many times, my wife said it best, and she said, it's our job to give them the beacons. It's their plane to fly. And I think sometimes as trainers, we forget, you know, it's their horse. It's their money. You know, Gary Barber's invested a lot of money, and I'm not going to take that away from him unless I feel like I'm going to hurt her. I'm going to put her in a position that something, you know, and I don't feel that way. So you're probably a good shot you're going to see her run on Saturday.
See you on Saturday. I want to catch up on a couple of two-year-olds, see what may be coming up for them. You had a couple of nice ones a little earlier in the meet, nice wins, Fly So Pretty. Both of these had come off of one start. So it was the second start, showed some nice improvement. Fly So Pretty is going to be the number one horse here, had run third in the debut effort down at Churchill, came up here, wins by a chart margin of a neck and a little bit of a ding-dong battle. Talk a little bit about the win by Fly So Pretty and what might be next for that one.
You know, I was surprised. She ran into some, of course, you're not going to see it here, but at about the half-mile pole, she checks and drops back to almost last. I was amazed that she was able to overcome the trip and be able to still win. She's an extremely talented filly. She's already in Kentucky. Anybody, you know, knows much about Kentucky Downs and all, she's going to go for $500,000 opening day at she's a Kentucky bred Mr. Farmer, a big advocate of New York racing, but also of Kentucky, and we're going to go down and try to win that race. So she's already there. That's where she's going.
Violent Point, we'll take a look at that one. Also earlier in the meet, Violent Point's going to be the number nine horse. Again, coming off a career debut effort. This one down at Belmont ran third, but nice improved effort for this New York State bred, getting it done. Chart margin of six lengths. Talk about the win by Violent Point. What might be next for that one?
Well, the race came off the grass. You know, she really liked the slop. I thought her first race was probably better than it looked. We kind of chased from the inside, and she hooked a really nice filly. Johnny doesn't usually say much. After this race, he said, you know, this filly can run. So I almost fell over. Johnny's not one to throw those around. I can't remember the name of the stake, but we're going to aim for there's a stake at the end of the meet, New York bred filly stake. Yeah.
And what is the thought process when a race comes off the turf and the dirt? How do you, particularly with a lately raced horse like this, how do you make the decision to stay or?
Well, we've already done a fair amount of training with her. So we had an inkling that she probably was okay on the dirt. And a lot of it has to do too with, again, go back to my pedigrees. You know, pedigree's a big deal. But all that being said, until they do it, you never know for sure.
And she looked good once she did it. All right, let me just, before we let you go, touch on a couple that are coming up. We'll hit on Fetching in the Saratoga Do. Fetching, we're going to take a look at the July 14th race. That was the beginning of the meet. Fetching's going to be the number four horse here. Again, nice little ding-dong nose victory by that one. That was career start number three, career win number two. So now she shows up in the Saratoga Do, mile and an eighth. What are your thoughts coming out of this race early in the meet and going into the Saratoga Do?
Well, it's interesting. Before we ever ran this filly, we thought she was pretty good on the dirt. We ended up, there was a grass race, so we ran her and she won. Then she came back and had a bit of a troubled trip. And then, of course, she just won this race. Her distance is not a problem for her. I've been wanting to run her on the dirt. I usually don't like running against older fillies, so that's a bit of a concern. But it also sets her up. I can't think of the name of the race, but in 2 weeks there's a mile and an eighth race against straight three-year-old fillies. So again, this is a step.
Yeah.
We're looking for a positive, or something positive that says yes, she can run on the dirt, and if she can, it'll set her up very well for the next race.
All right.
I mean, we're hoping to win today, but as I said, I'm looking for a positive sign, and we're trying a piece of the puzzle.
And finally, coming up on the weekend, we already talked about the four-star Dave and Got Stormy, but you also have March to the Arch in there. Going to go back to the Wise Dan. That was a couple of races back, subsequently off the board in the Forbidden Apple up here at Saratoga, but in the Wise Dan, March to the Arch, number 11th horse, gets it done by a neck. So we went back and took a look at that race. How did March to the Arch come out of that most recent race up at Saratoga, and how's March to the Arch going into the four-star Dave?
He's good. You know, he kind of ran, I thought he ran spotty in his last race up here. We don't really know why. We did get a little rain, and I do believe sometimes inside can be a little tough to close on, and he looked like he was going to make a big run, and then he kind of flattened out, but he only got beat a length and a quarter. I think the post position for him is a key. March the Arch needs a great trip. With a great trip and some other horses getting not great trips, he could win. And so we've already got part of the puzzle. We've got the one hole. So now it's up to Tyler to get, you know, be able to save some ground and come with a run. And it wouldn't be impossible for him to win.
And finally, before we let you go, I know we're running late here, but I did want to get a comment, and I pulled up the replay. We're going to look at the Breeders' Cup Mile from 2015. It's going to be Tepin. Subsequently, she went over and ran and won at Royal Ascot for you. I mean, she has to be a special horse on your resume, certainly. Just give some memories of Tepin and
you
how
know,
special she was.
I think, Seth, when she won at Royal Ascot, I didn't realize what an accomplishment it really was until till now seen how many horses go over there, and they and great horses from here, and they you don't find them. And she didn't have, you know, she didn't get, she got a little soft ground, which she didn't care for that much, and for her to win, you know, just a tremendous filly. The ironic part about Teppan is the best race she ever ran in her life, she got beat. I think her last start when Tourist beat her in the Breeders' Cup, because she was out of her element. She was a filly that would be close turning for home and shoot away and say, come catch me if you can. But she got held up a little bit. Tourist cut the corner on her, and she was trying to run him down. And, yeah, so her best race was probably when she got beat in.
Yeah, 13 wins and 23 starts, over $4 million. She was certainly special and fun to watch. That's always fun for those of us who are fans of the sport to see him go over to Royal Ascot and perform well for just the reasons you said. Mark, really appreciate the visit. You're taking the time to come over. We know it's a very busy time, as we alluded to at the start of the interview when you're here at Saratoga, but we appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend and for the remainder of the meet.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mark Cassie. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Matt Vedvolji will join us. As I say, ran third in the National Handicapping Championship. Local guy picked up 125K out in Vegas. We'll talk a little bit about that and get some ideas for this afternoon. Stay tuned. Thanks, Mark. That was great.
Yeah, that's a lot of things.
That was fun.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. Thanks again to Mark Cassie for coming over and joining us. And as promised before the break, joined now by Matt Vedvolji. Oh, man.
You had it perfect, and you got it.
From Albany, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And as I say, local guy makes good. It was a lot of fun for us when we were covering the National Handicapping Championship out in Vegas, because Matt, we kind of plugged into you maybe late Friday or early Saturday as the cuts were being made, and we had a little location up in the front of the room over in the corner, and Matt's table was right in front of us. And so as you proceeded over the last couple of days, it was fun. That made it easier for us to have a little focus. Local guy, we were rooting for you.
Right.
It was a great time. Just overall, talk about your experience out.
It was a phenomenal experience. It was my first time out there. So first time out is always good to play as well as you did. It seems like every time I kept talking to you, though, I kept getting better and better, keep moving up the line.
So
we need you back next year. We need you back next year at Bally. So it was a great experience. You meet so many different people. It's a lot of fun. It's just a great time to, play horses for 3 days. You know, you're around so many great people. It's literally from morning to night. It's a grind, but at the end of the day, I had a great experience. And listen, walking away with six figures doesn't hurt at all either.
125K, that top prize. What was Scott Cole's got 800,000, Jim Meek's 250, you 125. Scott Cole's won the contest with $367. You were in third with $354. A couple of dollars out of second place as well.
Yeah.
But again, what made it fun for us, we were following you through the cuts, and there's a few cuts, and the last and best cut is the final table, the final table of 10, which is the last half of Sunday, and you entered the final table number 9. So that was a great run to go from 9 to 3 on the final table.
Yeah, and it was a little bit of a sweat going into the final table. I needed the last race at Fairgrounds, literally the last race before they announced the final table. I was going between two horses from Tampa and Fairgrounds. I wound up going with the horse from Fairgrounds. Now, a lot of people will say that when your horse goes into the gate at 5-1 and they come out at 5-2, that's a normal circumstance. My horse went in the gate at 5-1, came out at 9-1. That's probably the first time I've ever seen that, and that is the time where I absolutely needed every dollar of it. A 1-2 shot finished out of the money. I got a good place money out of there too. So, and I don't know what took them so long to announce the final table, but it seemed like, you know, 10 hours, but finally snuck in. I got a little nervous, though. Between, you know, when they started announcing 5 and 6, they were so tight with dollars, I thought I might actually get squeezed out of it, but I was glad to make it, and then kind of went from there.
Yeah, as I say, it was fun to watch you kind of bounce up, and then the middle of the final table, you went down a couple of spots and then back up to number 3. As I say, it was a lot of fun. Local guy, but also a local college guy as well. Talk a little bit about your hockey career.
Yeah, went to Union College. That's kind of how I fell in love with this place, too. Played hockey there for 4 years, had a great time. It's a good spot. It's a good school. You know, it's kind of funny looking at all the other schools that I was considering. I've never heard of Union College before. I took one visit there and I came back and said, I want to go here. This is the place for me. So no, I had a lot of fun, met a lot of great people, but literally got dragged to the track. I think it was my sophomore, junior year. I emphasize that I got dragged to the track, to Saratoga. And ever since I've been coming. So it's just, fell in love there, but also had a great hockey career at Union as well.
I spent a couple of years at RPI and dragged some hockey players who lived across the hall to the harness track, actually, a couple of times. Then I wound up at Syracuse, though. So I am a hockey fan, but now more of a college basketball fan.
There you go.
Spending
there
the
you
last
go.
Couple of years at Syracuse. But it's funny, there is some crossover between hockey. We were up doing the Queen's Plate a few weeks ago at Woodbine, and Jim Lawson, the CEO, a former hockey player. And
very nice.
We were chatting with him afterwards and said where we were from, the OTB in Albany. He said, oh, I'm familiar with that area. He played college hockey. Colgate or Cornell, maybe, but he said played Union and played RPI.
Yep,
he said
yep,
he remembered
yep.
the area. But then he also noted that he had gotten a huge brawl playing up in Glens Falls in his semi-pro days. He recounted an afternoon where he took a shot at the wrong guy on the Glens Falls. And somebody on his team later said, oh, that was not the guy to start a brawl with. Any college brawls of note?
Not too many. No, not too many in college. Played a little bit of some junior hockey before getting into college. That's where you usually see it. Fighting's legal there, so you can see some of
in
those.
Junior hockey?
Junior hockey depends on what league you're playing in. There are fights that are legal, but when you get in the college ranks, especially high school ranks as well, it's not. But occasionally you do find them. Usually sitting for a while if you get into one of those.
Yeah, probably just as well stay out of those. Talk about how you qualified last year, and have you qualified yet this year?
So last year I qualified online. I'll admit, it took me a while. I played, I played throughout the year, just kind of chipping away. Was getting close. At the end of the day, I would have qualified on points. I didn't want to leave it to that at the end, but it was pretty late in the year. I finally actually won a tournament online on horse players and got my way into the tournament. And oddly enough, I think it was maybe 30 days after I got back from Vegas this year, so in 19, I qualified again for for Vegas in 20. So I took care of it early this year, So now I got locked.
Pressure's off.
Pressure's a little bit off. I'm already locked in for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge as well. So got kind of my placing set, playing the tournaments tomorrow and Saturday here.
Oh, you're going to come
Saratoga.
Up?
Yep, playing in those tournaments. So I got quite a bit on the plate, looking forward to it, though. But the big thing is the NHC to me is the best part about it. You have to qualify. So there's a sense of accomplishment before you even step into the room and start playing. There's no other tournament like that. So some really good horse players that can't get in. You can't show up with 10 grand and buy in or whatever the number would be. You know, you have to qualify. So I think that to me is one of the best parts about the NHC.
Yeah, you were third and there was well over 550 entrants and some had multiple. So there was actually 660, I think, whatever you would call it, entries, 550 players and 660 entries with multiple entries. So to run third there was a great job. Again, be fun to follow you this year as well. And interesting you're playing over here also. I was thinking about playing Friday, tomorrow. And when it came to the deadline yesterday, I had just hadn't been feeling it so far. But over the last few days, I turned it around, and I may regret that that I didn't play. But you said you've been having a good Saratoga meet so far.
Yeah,
as well.
So far so good. Like we were talking before, I'm coming off one of my worst Saratogas ever. Like literally talking to myself, staring at the wall, wondering what I'm doing. Have I ever handicapped a race in my life to this year? Got going early. Primarily pick five, pick six players. So that's kind of where usually my money ends up. But gotten lucky so far. So it's been good. So hopefully we keep that rolling.
All right. Let's see if we can get a couple ideas for today. Let's start in race number two. State bred claimers, $25,000 claimers, 6 furlongs to trip. My note at the top of the page, I thought this was a pretty evenly matched field. I went 2-1-7-5 and took a little shot with the Gargan first off the claim angle with My Roxy Girl, master of the obvious here with the morning line price. But what are your thoughts in race two?
Oh, it'll be a little interesting. I'm against the two in this race a little bit. But like you said, though, I think it's an evenly matched field. I went the 6, Royal Inheritance, 10-1 morning line. A little bit of a theme on this day. You know, I do like Saez getting this horse forwardly placed. You know, coming out of some good New York bred company, you know, cheapest level this horse has been at. You know, I don't see much. You see a little bit of pace from the 3 coming out of the gate, but I don't think it's enough to sustain it. So I think he might get his own way up front. And you mentioned the 2. I'm a little against the 2. If you look back at the last win from my Roxy Girl, just I thought had it her own way. You know, I just thought there really wasn't that much pace. Wasn't really pressured that much. Kind of got out to an uncontested lead. You know, if you've seen the Trackman's comments, uncontested. If you watch that race, it truly is uncontested up front. I don't think that's going to be the case today. I do think there's going to be a different pace scenario up front. I think that Royal Inheritance gets out to that lead and may go start to finish here.
10-1 on the morning line. We like that. Also like to root for our buddy Rick Schatzberg. Race number 4 this afternoon. 35-40 claimers going 7 furlongs. I thought I have a 3-horse box written at the top of my page. 4, 3, and 2 for me. I thought those were playable. I thought the morning line offered a little bit of value. California Knight on top for me. Just overmatched last time. And at 7-2, I thought a little bit of a play coming in from Churchill in that last stakes race. But again, for me, 4, 3, 2, and 5. Your thoughts on the 4?
We're on the same page. California Knight to me. Again, this race to me is all about pace. I think the 4 gets out to a pretty easy lead. And I think there's going to be 3 or 4 horses kind of looking at each other, sitting off that pace. And I think that Sai is the kind of guy, again, he's going to be aggressive out of the gate. I think he gets that lead, and I don't think anyone really goes with him and pressures. And I'm just hoping around that far turn you see a lot of activity behind the 4 and not much on the 4 with Zayas, and he kind of takes some start to finish. I if you look 3 back, I think that's the exact race that I see today. I really do. You know, same distance, I think the same setup where he gets to a comfortable lead. It's not too fast, not too slow. I just think there's too many horses that might sit off the pace, and I think he gets an easier lead and he can take them. Now, again, in pick 5s, I'll be using, you know, Potomac as well in there, but I just thought that California Knight, the right setup, I think the pace scenario is going to be favorable, is going to get out to that lead, and I think goes to gate to wire.
All right, finally, let's go out to race number 10, the finale. Give some people some money for dinner on this Thursday night. 35-40 claimers on the grass at 1 1/8. I had it 9, 5, 6, and 8. Tricky Magician on top. I thought on the class relief, again, our buddy Mark Cassie was in here earlier. That one coming down from Woodbine might be a little bit interesting at 5-1. So, again, 9, 5, 6, and 8 for me. What did you see?
Yeah, so this race to me is incredibly difficult. I think this is a very hard race to get out in the 10th race. I think you can throw a blanket over a lot of these horses. But I went with the 7, Rock the Causeway at 8-1. Dropping class, Vilmer Garcia on there for Kathleen O'Connell. You know, 2 nice races at Monmouth. The 3rd one is a nice, I think that was a really good race going 1 1/16. Good close into that race. It's a wide open field. You know, I think that they'll get the right pace up front. I think this is one we'll sit back, sit maybe kind of in that 2nd to 3rd level, but not too far off the pace. I think has a really good, nice closing kick, and I think he gets that nice setup today. You know, I for me personally, I make my own figures, my own power figures. This horse tops out for the day. So for me, this is a horse I'll really be looking at in the 10th race. I think I'll get a good price too. I think that 8-1 may hold up. I might even get a little bit more, depending on where that money falls. But it's gonna spread in this race. I had a hard time, but I kept kind of coming back to this horse. I look at the setup. I look at the spot. It almost looks like this is a big circle on the agenda for this horse coming in. I always like to see that. So, for me, this is my best bet of the day here at 8-1, the
Rock
7
the
Rock Causeway.
I like it. The number 7 in race number 10. Matt, appreciate the visit. Wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow and Saturday up here in the contest. And certainly we'll be paying attention out in Vegas coming the beginning of the new year as well. And appreciate the visit this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Matt Vagbolgi, third place in last year's NHC. We'll be rooting for him again coming up in 2020. Joining us right after the break, Dave Grenig. We'll take a look at some of the stakes action coming up over the next few days. Stay tuned. That was
looking
great.
For a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouthwatering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. As promised before the break, joined now by Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum. Dave, good morning.
Seth, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Again, know everybody's busy during Saratoga, and you guys do a great job with the workout reports and whatnot. That means a lot of work in the morning, but I always like to tout the workout reports as well. A lot of great information. It adds to the handicapping toolbox at Saratoga.
You never have enough information.
That's right. Sometimes you
actually
can.
You can.
but
this is good information.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, wanted to touch on before we get into the stakes races coming up. Wanted some opinions on last weekend. We have the stretch run of both the Whitney and the Test. We'll watch McKenzie get it done and Covfefe get it done. And I just want some of your thoughts. I said after the Whitney. Whatever you say about the meet so far, the racing's just been so good. You toss in Concrete Rose and Imperial Hint, and we've seen performances by horses that came into the race with expectations and validated them, and McKenzie was one of those in the Whitney, certainly.
Absolutely. You know, with the disappointment for the connections about losing the Met Mile and with a little bit of a rough trip, although, you know, every time they talk about that, it still seems a little bit to take a little bit away from Mattoli, and I don't like to do that because I thought Mattoli was brilliant in the race. But the thing that strikes me here about this performance is, if you watch Mike Smith, it's just a hand ride, really. He's it's not an easy hand ride, but it's just a vigorous hand ride that sort of is another tool that lets you know that he's figured this horse out. He probably doesn't like the whip. And one of Mike's comments was the best part of this race was the last part, the way he kind of pulled away there, which gives him some confidence going forward to the mile and a quarter in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, in November at Santa Anita. I thought he ran a very, very solid race here, and it was really a signature win for him. He was already a three-time Grade One winner, but if you kind of and not to poo-poo the other races, but the Whitney, you know, towers above the Los Alamitos Futurity and the Pennsylvania Derby and even the three-year-old Sprint Race of California. So it was a race that he needed to win, and he got the job done. He's already left to go back to California. I would imagine he just run the Awesome again
at the end of September. Nothing really, just talking to Bob the day after, it was, when you looked at the options, it was either come back here, which he said he really didn't want to do. If he was going to think about the Woodward, he would have just left them here, which obviously he didn't. Yeah. He doesn't want to run a mile and a quarter before the Breeders' Cup Classic, so that kind of rules out the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And the only other race I can think of is like the Lucas Classic, which why would you ship to Kentucky for like a grade three, $200,000 race when you have a grade one right in your own backyard? So yeah. I think he stays there. He's been playing on the road all year, Churchill, Belmont, Saratoga. So I think he just runs it awesome again, Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, certainly after that win, just sitting at the top of the class. And I had Bob in on Sunday morning, and he commented when we watched the whole race. Mike Smith, as preservationist, came up on the outside at the beginning of the backstretch. He just eases out, goes and gets the outside position. It was a great ride.
It's kind of a move that you'd see Johnny Velasquez do a lot. And, on those Pletcher dynamos that he just lets the speed go, kind of gets to the outside. Now he's the outside stalker. When you're the outside stalker as opposed to the inside speed, it's a much better place to be.
Another great performance on the weekend. Let's watch Covfefe in the test. And I've said it as I've talked about the race over the past few days, can't take anything away from Serengeti Empress. I mean, she was all heart, and it's a ding-dong battle, really, until maybe the last two strides where Covfefe gets that half a length or so. But, boy, this was a phenomenal performance from what is a phenomenal three-year-old sprinting filly for Brad Cox and company.
Yeah, the test sometimes gets overshadowed because it's on the Whitney undercard, air quotes there, but it's always a phenomenal race, and these two put on quite the show. And I really give Brad Cox a lot of credit and the team with Covfefe because I thought running her in the Rock Solana might have cooked her. I didn't like that as a prep for this race, and maybe it hardened her for another stretch battle that she prevailed in. But I actually thought they might have made a mistake by running her there instead of the victory ride, which looked like a much easier spot for Covfefe. But she was, it was a really solid performance for her. And this was the goal since January, according to Brad. And really, when you look at the rest of the year, obviously the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint is, maybe the goal in pencil. I don't necessarily know that they have to make that race. This was the race they wanted to win this year. And I guess you just sort of play around with her and see how she goes and how she bounces out of that race. She's had a lot of hard races.
Yeah.
And you wonder if maybe, going the easy route with her in the fall might be better, but we'll see. Did talk to Tom Amos. Serengeti Empress will stretch back out in the Cotillion at Parks on September 21st, I believe, to win and you're in for the distaff. She's already, the one thing that you got to love about Serengeti Empress is she's versatile. Obviously, she won the Kentucky Oaks around two turns. She's solid enough to run second in the Acorn, second in this race around one turn. Maybe she can get that speed and not have to go as fast at Parks. In the two-turn race will be a million-dollar race, grade one, perfect spot.
Just looking at racing form online last night, you can catch all of Dave's work there in the hard copy. I was looking down some of the articles you've had over the past few days, and you kind of alluded to one earlier when you talked about how phenomenal Mattoli was in the Met Mile. But I was thrilled to hear both Mattoli and Midnight Bijou have worked and both look to have starts up here before the end of the meet.
That's what Steve said. I was a little surprised. I thought Midnight Bijou I thought Mattoli might wait for the Vosburgh, but maybe he got some wind at Imperial Hints going to the Vosburgh, which he is, and maybe he thought, well, if he's not in the forego, why would I give that up? The work the other day was a little slower than I would. I know Steve often goes slow first work back, but the first part of that work was quick, and the second part was really slow, so I'm hoping to see a little bit more from him as we move forward toward the forego. But it was nice to hear that he's running back. Midnight Bijou, this was always the goal coming out of the Molly Pitcher. I think they're not as thrilled with her at Saratoga as, say, other places. So they only wanted to give her one run at Saratoga, which is why they chose the Molly Pitcher. Obviously, they didn't know it was going to be 90 degrees and 4-hour four-hour delay in the running of the race. But I think that race probably set her up for this one. And you got to take your swing. I mean, where else would you go if not the personal lines?
Yeah, but looking forward to those two certainly before the end of the meet. All right, let's get some ideas for the next few days. Today's feature is the Saratoga Dew. There's a field of six in here. I talked about this race when I was doing the Channel 10 handicapping last night, WTEN, and I said, I think you make similar cases for and against pretty much all six in here. But I went with Lucky Move. Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing comes out of a nice win here earlier in the meet. We will take a look at that. Lucky Move will be the number one horse here. Gets the win by a chart margin of 3/4 of a length that I'd run into Marshall Graham earlier in the meet, and he said it was the first win where he's able to actually be in the winner's circle for a Saratoga winner. So he was excited about that. And subsequently, he's left town, so I don't believe he'll be back for this potential victory. But I tilted in this direction in a race where, as I say, I could have gone in any of six directions. What are your thoughts on the Saratoga do?
Yeah, you know, there's basically you went with one new face, and I'm going with a different new face with Fetching, just because, and it's more of a guess because she's never been on the dirt before as far as the afternoon goes. But the horses that have run, the Out of Orbits and Cartwheels and Turn and Burns and Held the Cannibals, they don't do a whole lot for me. Like you said, you can make cases for and against. I just thought Fetching, maybe going the turf to dirt angle here. She's in good form. All of her races have been good. Now, granted, all of them have been on turf, but she's by Fleet Alex, so she should be able to handle the dirt. She works on dirt every morning. And, you know, Mark's having a pretty solid meet. Their horses are running well, most of them. And I just thought if he feels confident enough to give her a shot in this race, why not? I'll jump on board there because, like I said, all of her races are good, and I just haven't been thrilled with the other members of the field.
All right, let's move on to tomorrow's feature, the Tale of the Cat, restricted stake for sprinters going six furlongs. While we talk about this one, I'm going to pull up the July 19th win from He Hate Me from Stanley Huff and Sagamore. He Hate Me, the number six horse, wins by a chart margin of 2.25, 3-1 that day, so an $8.10 price. There are a number of different directions you might go in here as well. Kelly Beeks captain with the 99 buyer last time, the 98 in the last couple of starts from Pat on the back, also a little bit intriguing. But the win over the track for He Hate Me pulls me a little bit in that direction. What are your thoughts on the Tale of the Cat?
Stanley Huff and the Sagamore people may hate me because I've been on, you know, I wrote a story on Stanley right after they won a couple of races, and they was having a big weekend going in the Jim Dandy and California. They had a grade one, and neither horse ran particularly well. It hasn't gone too well since that article came out. He Hate Me was one of several contenders in here. I tend to gravitate toward Pat on the back because I'm just a fan of the horse. He's a hard trying horse who's, if you just look at his PPs, especially since Jeremiah has got him, but even when Kenny McPeak had him, there are very few bad races in here. I mean, if you look at the seven or so races since Jeremiah's had him, there's one off the board finish, and that was in the Cigar Mile, which was a very tough race. He's got some foot issues that they've been dealing with. This wasn't necessarily the race they were pointing to up here. They were hoping to get to the Nayrud out of the Commentator downstate, and then maybe the Vanderbilt and or Forgo. He's had some foot issues that I think he has right now. And six furlongs, they keep saying six furlongs is not his best distance, but yet he's 3-for-5 at the distance, came off the long layoff with a nice effort in the Affirmed Success, which was an okay field. It wasn't great, but I just love the way he just finished that race and he tries. And I think there will be pace here. I think you got Killy Beck's captain. You got Skylar Scramjet, who if he runs back to that second in the Carter, he's going to be tough to beat. And the outside horse, A-Town, first time gelding, but he's got a lot of speed. So I thought it was set up for Pat on the back. So I just liked the horse. I went back to him.
Harold Lerner, a great story, too. We had him on the show a couple of years ago. Folks don't know, got into the horse racing game because he was a big fan. And then won what, at the time, I believe was the largest lottery in the country. Now he owns some pretty nice horses. Jeremiah having a great meet. Jeremiah, I said as the meet started, watch out for him and his two-year-olds. And that,
well, you pegged it because he's won six two-year-old races at the meet. He's starting to run 1-2 in these two-year-old races. I'm starting to call him Jeremiah Brown.
All right, let's take a look at the Saratoga Special, one of a couple of Saturday stakes. We'll take a look at Saratoga Special while we talk. I pulled up the win by Green Light Go for Jimmy Jerkins down at Belmont. Pretty solid buyer number for a debuting two-year-old at this time of year. Green Light Go is going to be a number four horse as we watch the replay. But these kind of races, I mean, you're looking at horses coming out of maiden victories that all have shown a little bit of potential. Jeremiah has a Tuggle in here for August Dawn, Bill Parcells. Tommy Amos with a nice debut runner. The number might be a little bit light, but they can always move forward. Again, given the scenario in these two-year-old races being lightly raced, any one of these could step up and improve, but this was a pretty nice performance in the debut with a good number for the Jimmy Jerkins runner. Your thoughts, though, on the Saratoga Special?
Yeah, he took some pressure here from another Miracle, I believe that was the runner-up, and he pulled away from that one, eased up at the wire here was Green Light Go. Another Miracle came back and won an off-the-turf race, I believe, up here for the Greens and for Gary Contessa with an 83 buyer speed figure, so the quality of the race proved out. He'll probably be the favorite in here. One note on it, just to go back, there will be a scratch in this race. Number six, King Snake, who's cross-entered in a stakes race at Prairie Meadows, will run there instead, so the race will go from 8 to 7. I like Zeramid in here. I think Steve Asmussen, in my conversation with him, he was kind of surprised that the horse got beat first time out. And ironically, the horse that beat him was a Steve Asmussen horse called Half Moon Reef, who came back to win a Louisiana bred stake at Evangeline. And then he came back with, I thought, a nice effort here early in the meet, third day of the meet, pulling away late to win by 2 3/4 lengths. Led me to believe that more distance is going to be fine for him as we stretch out. I would have preferred a little more outside and then inside of the post, but I like the experience factor, the race over the track. But, you have to beat Jimmy's horse, Green Light Go, but I think Zeramid will get it done.
All right, let's move on to the four-star, Dave. And we had Mark Cassie here earlier, who has a couple of horses, but one of those being a little bit of a story horse with Got Stormy coming back on the turnaround. That one won the De La Rose just a few days ago with what 24 hours earlier would have been a track record.
Right, right.
Winds up, though, not getting that track record, but still a very nice performance. He also has March to the Arch in here. I pulled up the last race from Uni. Uni, another story horse in here, and that one and Got Stormy. A couple of the ladies facing the boys in here. But Uni, certainly from Chad Brown, Michael Dubb and company, coming out of the perfect sting last time. The number three horse here certainly comes into this with some momentum off of this win. But again, a race where you can find other horses that are also intriguing. Raging Bull, also from Chad Brown and Peter Brandt. Guido, always one that can step up and run big. What are your thoughts on the four-star day?
Look, Uni's a tremendous talent, and just look at her past performances since she's come to this country. And, came off the plane and ran third in the Belmont Oaks at a distance of 1.25 miles. That probably is not her best. You look at what she's done since Chad put her a mile. She's 5 for 5, won 5 in a row, all at a mile, including the Matriarch shipping out to Del Mar to win that race against another New York horse, Daddy's a Legend, for George Weaver. I'm just a huge fan of Uni, and I think she gets the right setup here. There looks like to be solid speed if everybody runs. Gidu, who scratched out of the lure last week to point for this race, go from the outside post. Dr. Edgar is a one-way horse with speed. I thought there was another horse. The Godolphin horse may even show some speed, although sometimes they don't often get as quick out of the gate here first time in the U.S. But Uni, to me, is a really talented filly who I think can beat the boys here. If you're looking for a price horse in here, I think, I don't know what he'll be, but Embry was 12-1 in the Forbidden Apple. This horse was three times in a row second best. Another one who I think really runs well at a mile is more seconds than wins, but if you can hook Uni up with Embry, I think he can get a decent exact, and again, will benefit from pace, and the price should be right. So, and again, Maker's having a very good meet, too. Underrated meet, by the way, but Embry, to me, is a price under Uni. Raging Bull, I'm not sure of him at a mile, but he is 2 for 2 at Saratoga, and he does come with a burst. He has a very, very strong kick, and if he can get a clean trip, he'll be all you can handle in the lane as well. But Uni, to me, is just a special talent. I'm glad they're taking the shot against the boys here.
Yeah, another fun grade one on a Saturday up here at Saratoga. And speaking of grade ones on Saturday, Dave, before we let you go, just update us again, going over some of your articles you've covered over the past few days. Maximum Security, it looks like they're still up in the air about that one for the Travers, and Code of Honor had a workout within the last few days.
Yeah, Code of Honor, they skipped the Jim Danny to kind of freshen up for the Travers, and he had a pretty solid in-company work. They'll probably come back with another serious work. I think this is the weekend here where you start to see the Travers horses get back, the Jim Danny horses get back on the track, and the ones that skip the race, start to pick it up even more. So Maximum Security, he doesn't really have what's a traditional workout. He does these, open gallop type things, and then they put a clock on him for the last, part of the part of it, and they give him this very slow time, and you're like, how can he be this good with these slow works? Well, it's a steady progression of gallops that get him to be this good. So Maximum Security, still a bit on the fence. I think they want to run. They just want to make sure they're bringing a horse who's 100%, knowing that you have a backup in a race like the Pennsylvania Derby. One horse, and I don't know if Mark mentioned this when he was on the show earlier, doesn't seem like Preakness Winner War will run in the race.
He scooped that he's definitely not.
Definitely.
He made it 100%.
He went 100%.
He was on the phone with the owner just before he came on the show.
Gotcha. So we went from very unlikely to out. So we won't see him here, which is totally not unexpected at all. But it'll be good to see Tax and Tacitus hook up again for the fifth time, and you bring in Code of Honor back to the mix. And
yeah, a lot of people waiting for Code of Honor.
Yeah, and another horse that's sort of flying under the radar after his Preakness runner-up finish, a third. I needed him to be second. He was third. Owendale. is supposed to come. He had a 5/8 working 58 and change at Churchill on Saturday. Brad Cox was telling me the mile and a quarter should be right up his alley. He just needs some pace, which I think with the tax in there, and yeah, I think he'll get some pace. So it'll still be a fun traverse. No classic winners in there, but it'll still be a fun race.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Again, so far the racing has been great. We're just past the halfway point. Lots of great racing still to come, and you can follow all of it via Dave Grenig and the rest of the DRF team, Daily Racing Forum. You can catch it hard copy all around town or in the area or online at DRF.com. Dave, appreciate the visit as always.
Thanks, Seth.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Saratoga, and it is a gorgeous Saratoga morning that will lead into a gorgeous Saratoga afternoon. Good racing. I enjoyed the day yesterday. Hopefully you were paying attention to the Handicappers Award, picked up the sheet, because I thought the sheet did nicely yesterday. I had a couple of people walk up and say they were playing the sheet and made a little money. So that's what it's all about. I should remind you, I'm not on the sheet today, but I handicap the full card every day over at my Equidaily site. So if you want to pick up the selections, I also do a bankroll play. I usually don't put the selections are up already for today. But the bankroll play, I usually look at the scratches first. So I haven't updated the bankroll play for today yet. But you can go to Equidaily.com every Saratoga racing day to find the selections. And that, of course, when I'm in here doing the handicapper support, they're available at CapitalOTB.com. Via the handicapper support link, which this morning has Brian and Anthony on board, as well as I think Sully is most days there as well. So pick up the handicapper support sheet as well. Let me hit some of the promos. First, let me tout you if you're coming to the track, Low Rollers. Again, Sundays and Thursdays, take your shot at the Low Rollers contest here at the track, the Four Star Dave area, which is that carousel restaurant area in the back of the grandstand. That's where they're set up for signing up for entries. You pay $40, $10 goes into the prize pool. You get a card with $30. You make five $2 win place and show bets during the day. At the end of the day, if you have the most money on your card, you pull down the majority of that prize pool. I think they paid a fifth place. It's a lot of fun. They've been getting a couple of hundred entries, a couple thousand dollars in the prize pool. And as I say, it's a lot of fun. You have to think a little bit differently, find some value. So jump in and take your shot. Low Rollers today, over on the front side here at Saratoga. As far as Capital OTB promotions, we have the Beat the Handicapper online contest. You can check out CapitalOTB.com. Click on the promotions section to learn more about Beat the Handicapper today online at CapitalOTB.com. Tomorrow it's a Fan Appreciation Day at the Bridgeport Branch. That runs from noon until 5. Mike Callahan touting that as one of his favorite branches out towards the Syracuse area. First 50 folks get a bet voucher, giveaway item, a program. There's a contest, food and beverage, That's tomorrow, Fan Appreciation Day, Bridgeport Branch. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. Friday also, the bounty bet with over $1,800 up for grabs. All you have to do to get in is play the late pick five at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. And then you're just playing against other people playing on their Capital OTB bet accounts. Late pick five tomorrow at Saratoga. Take your shot at that $1,800 plus bounty. There's also a $150 late pick five bankroll. Sully Crotty will have that to play for some of our patrons. Bankroll team will share in the pick five winnings of Sully. Hits tomorrow's late pick five at Saratoga. Check out the website for more information. There's also a $1,000 Saturday bankroll. Mike Callahan will have that bankroll this Saturday. Signups continue until tonight, Thursday night. So don't hesitate. Go to the website and sign up for your chance to get on the team. $1,000 Mike will play throughout the day on Saturday with live cut-ins here on the network. It's always a lot of fun. Saturday, there's a $100 win-a-bet contest at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Saturday, there's a $100 online harness knockout challenge. Be focused on races at Yonkers and Mohawk. That's Saturday, $100 online harness knockout challenge. Sunday at the Racebook, a double Sunday promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. Again, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And again, the website for checking out this information, capitalotb.com. All right, fun morning. Got some good information. That was a fun interview with Mark Cassie. Appreciate his stopping by. Matt Vegvolgi, it was a lot of fun out in Vegas earlier this year when we were kind of able to focus on him a little bit. You know, we went out there just to cover the contest, but we kind of latched on to Matt, as I say, late Friday, early Saturday, as some of the cuts were being made, and found out he was right in the table in front of us, an Albany guy who was doing well. Wound up finishing third in the National Handicapping Championship in a field of, as I say, well over 550 of the best handicappers in the country. So it was fun to talk to Matt this morning a little bit about that and get some ideas for Saratoga this afternoon as well. And we'll root for Matt tomorrow and Saturday in the two contests up here. And also always enjoy a visit from Dave Grenig at Daily Racing Forum. Give me some thoughts on the weekend stakes action. Actually, the next couple of days into the weekend stakes action. All right, that wraps things up for Racing Across America for this Thursday morning. Hope you enjoyed the coverage and got some good ideas on the racing over the next few days. Don't forget tomorrow morning back with the Handicapper Support at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock Racing Across America. We will see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.